The Wimbledon Tennis Championship gets underway today at the All England Club. Defending men's singles champion Andy Murray opened the tournament on center court and defeated his opponent in three quick sets. This year marks the 131st year of Wimbledon, and 90 years ago, radio commentary at the tournament began. The BBC had the honors back then. It still does. Joining us now is Robert Cedar, the BBC's historian. Robert, welcome.
Thank you.
Take us back to that day, 90 years ago, June 29th, 1927. How significant was it?
Well, radio was just the big passion of the 20s and 30s, because imagine you've moved from a world where you were completely unconnected to suddenly at the switch of a button, you could have everything, music, news, children's programs and sport. And sport, of course, is the great motivator that brings people together. And what the BBC wanted to do was give you that ringside view, that ringside seat. So sport was a big, big motivator. And 1927, which is 5 years after the creation of the BBC itself, is a really important year for sport, because for the first time, believe it or not, you could actually have a complete running commentary of a sport. So in this year, everybody piles in with the sport fixtures. And of course, everybody wants Wimbledon. And it is a big moment.
But there is no broadcast left in the archives. What happened to that?
No, because it was really considered as an ephemeral art, really. Nobody thought that years later we'd be sitting in America, you know, wanting to listen to a bit of archive footage. So not until really later on, late 20s, 30s, did people start to record things and think, actually, here we're capturing history. So that's why, yeah.
Well, the presenter was a gentleman named Captain Henry Blythe Thornhill Wakelam.
You're very well briefed.
Oh, good. Yes, yes. Well, listen, I wonder how people received his commentary on the radio. We're so used to hearing sports broadcast on the radio or on TV now. Was it primitive to the audience's ears?
Well, first of all, he did have an abbreviated name. They called him Teddy. We'll call him Teddy. Well, it was much slower. I think that's the first thing. Initially, in the 20s, actually, they used to read the news twice, once at sort of normal speed and secondarily at a much slower pace. Because where you were, depending where you were in the UK, you might have good or bad or middling reception. So reception was still a bit of an issue. So sport, even sport, which naturally has a sort of pace and a rhythm, that would be, for a modern day ear, would be quite a slow delivery.
Well, you know, 10 years later, Teddy Wakelam is going to make history again, because in 1937, Wimbledon is broadcast on the television. For the first time. That must have been even more groundbreaking, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, Wimbledon's a bit like the Olympics, because it was used consistently to trial these new technologies. So you're quite right. It's only 10 years on, and television really is a twinkle in a magician's eye. Very few people had it. It was very, very primitive. And in fact, it launched with a sort of aplomb, and then it stopped during the war years and didn't really resurge until later on in the 40s and the 50s. But radio began, and it was complicated because it was all live and everything was trunked. Television was even more complicated because you had very little actual equipment available, and that was cumbersome, heavy. You know, you had to maneuver around center court. The Wimbledon authorities were not particularly pleased when these large, bulky machines arrived. So it had all sorts of complexities. And what you saw was, again, to a modern eye, quite primitive, because it was restricted by where the television cameras, which were quite big, where they could get in, where they could access the courts.
Well, there is no, as we mentioned, recording of that original broadcast from 1927, but I do want to hear something from the archives here. 1958, Neil Fraser and Ashley Cooper, both Australians, are playing, and the commentary here is by Max Robertson.
He serves the backhand, he comes back cross court. Cooper slips, but gets a forehand half volley back. A whip forehand by Fraser. Cooper gets it back on the volley. A lob tossed high by Fraser. It's short. Cooper a smash. Fraser lobs again deeper. Back goes Cooper, smashes. Fraser again.
So
a forehand.
Very
this time,
fast pace there. Cooper wins in four sets.
Yeah.
All that to say that Wimbledon seems to have had a historically important role in the BBC's history itself.
Yes, I think it was a constant sort of monument in the sporting fixtures. It was a ritual, you know, and particularly British as well. So it was something that the BBC wanted to have enshrined in its schedule. And first of all, it was early radio, then it was first of television. The first major sporting fixture was Wimbledon on TV. And then also, and this year, we're also celebrating the 50th anniversary of colour. So and Wimbledon was used as a magnet to get people to buy colour licences, to switch on and buy new television sets. David Attenborough, of course, the very familiar commentator, sure, of natural history, was then a controller of BBC Two, and he chose Wimbledon deliberately as a magnet to get people to switch on to new colour TV. And it's phenomenal when you read the responses of the audience, because people actually said things like, I can't believe the grass is so green. When, you know, we look around us, the world is in colour, but actually it was an extraordinary thing to see imagery in colour, and particularly sport.
Wow. Robert Cedar is the head of the BBC History and speaking with us on the first day of Wimbledon in 2017. Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you.